Hardwired for Life.
Welcome to the Hardwired for Life podcast with hosts Jana Rawling and Sharon Luzzi. We are hardwired as humans with foundational needs such as love, creativity, and purpose. We believe in teaching and living foundations of love, family, community, worship, and justice. We live to glorify God while helping people passionately pursue Him, feel valued, and create positive change in their lives. Email us at hardwired365@gmail.com with your risky faith story, and we will share them on the air. It's easy. Just answer the questions. 1. How did you trust God? 2. Did you trust and obey Him? 3. What happened?
So now, we got some tools for you. Courage is a huge process of that overcoming. Keeping your eyes on God. So here, I think we need to, this is just always a remember, this is like always a process. This is always going to be a process. But there's some guidelines you can use. I think I always used to think, well, what's the worst thing that friggin' can happen to me?
Right.
Like, what, you know, what does it say in scripture? You know, there's no way that God's going to let that happen. He's yours, or you're His. Doesn't matter either way.
And He makes a way of escape.
Always.
When we get to that point where we're just stuck and, you know, in trouble.
And He's always going to be there. He's just waiting, actually, for us to call on Him, actually.
Yeah.
So this kind of leads me into some steps here. When you look at the obstacle, again, there's nothing God can't solve. Number 2, define the obstacle. Identify it and know your enemy. Identify the problem. Half of solving a problem is admitting you have the problem, right, regardless of what it is. It doesn't matter.
Okay, what was one again?
Look at the obstacle.
Okay, so you look at it. And in that process where you're starting to realize it's even there, you're taking off the blindfolds of your life and you're going, okay, there is this problem. And then step 2, accept it. Get out of denial. I love it.
Yeah. And define it and know your enemy. Know that, yes, it's a problem, but you're not going to agree with it. You're just acknowledging it's there. That's what we do with Satan. We acknowledge, okay, that's true. See you later. Now I'm going over here to God for the answer. You need the strength or courage, which is courage, to defeat the obstacle.
Okay, is that step 3?
That's step 3.
Okay.
Step.
And where do you get the strength and the courage?
The Word.
The Word of God, absolutely.
Pray, get prayer, get some prayer warriors with you. Don't isolate yourself.
Confess the issue.
Confess it, just get it out. It's like I said, just, okay, you're done.
Right, look at it in the face.
White knuckle. Number 4, knowing your position in God and taking the authority.
Wow.
The more we submit to the authority, the more we gain authority.
And we need to know who we are in order to do that.
Identity.
Yes.
Number 5, be diligent.
I like that.
Don't give up. Don't stop. Stay in the moment.
Stay in that second of trusting Him every second. Well, and that also speaks to our behaviors, because when we get into a position, you know, sometimes it's a very long time. Sometimes it's our whole life that we've been dealing with this issue. And so we've learned the character behaviors of living in that issue. So then when we get set free from it, when we look at it, face it, get prayer, you know, some healing, get our identity in order, we still have those character behaviors that are habits. They're just habits that we need to be aware of and recognize and be diligent to continue, like, saying, nope, this is my victory. Nope, this is my victory. I love that.
Number 6, be prayerful.
Yeah, of course.
Number 7, don't back down. Face the fear. Fear is just a lie you believe.
Right, and that fear, of course the enemy's going to come up with the fear constantly.
Mm-hmm. That's his job.
You didn't win. You didn't overcome. Mm-hmm. Look what you're thinking mm-hmm. right now. Mm-hmm. You know, so those, that negative stinking thinking is a perfect moment to call somebody.
True, and call the enemy on his stuff too.
Yeah.
Just confess the positive, read that scripture over yourself.
Turn it around.
Yep. Facing the fear shows us where we need more love.
Ooh.
Because then we want to ask in that process for God to put the love in our heart in that area. That's the light
right.
shining on the darkness.
Right. And we're, you know, we're all about love with Hardwired for Life. Every, you know, our online course is called Foundations of Love. Like, everything we do turns back to God's love. And so, honestly, I think that's something that's been missing in healing ministries in the church.
Yes. Yes.
And now people will say, okay, once you get rid of it, yeah, ask Holy Spirit to fill you. But we don't say ask Him to fill you with love.
Correct.
And there's a big difference there.
Yes. And there's a big neglect there, I think. Because, well, we're coming into a different time and space.
Sure.
Of understanding those things.
Yes.
And I think we're finally realizing those things.
So I would just say that in your, for those of you who have already done a lot of spiritual warfare, insert love into your victory, to what you're overcoming here. Because God's love is gonna cure all. I mean, and I'm not saying that Holy Spirit is not God's love, because of course He is.
Mm-hmm.
But He does have a job, a different job, as Ruach. You know, mm-hmm. He has a different job to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we want to be filled with Him. We want to be filled with God's light. Mm-hmm. But don't forget the love.
Mm-hmm. And Jesus is interceding at the right hand of the throne for us.
Right.
We forget that.
Right.
Yeah.
Hebrews 1. Mm-hmm. That's what I was in all morning.
Oh.
That's exactly what that was about. You know, it's about Jesus's position as the Son of God and where He sits in terms of where the angels sit and where, and we can look at it where we are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are so important to Him.
Mm-hmm.
He loves us so much.
Mm-hmm.
And we just, you know, sorry.
It's
I'm
true.
I'm just like, you got love. That's all there is to it. That is all there is to it.
And the courage is the strength to prevail, to repair, be firm, to cleave, to stand. I think, too, you got to remember your mind is the battleground.
Yes.
So keep that in mind. Fear is what holds a grip and tries to choke the life out of it. We want life.
I think, I mean, we threw out to you guys a lot of information. And, of course, we talked about it. We have defined things. We've given you a lot to think about. But what about some of our own experiences, Sharon, that,
gosh.
Like, what is something, I know it's hard to, like, pick one thing as I was thinking about sharing something that I've overcome, and that's only because I have had, you know, a lot of trauma in my life that I've had to overcome, but what
gosh.
Is something that you would like
well,
to...
Well, I can do an overcoming cigarette smoking.
Oh, okay.
Grew up in a family of smokers.
Sure.
You know, we were stealing cigarette butts out of the ashtray to smoke at 10.
Oh, my goodness.
I remember stealing cigarettes from my parents. Yeah, we would...
Wow.
They'd leave them in the car above the visor. That was cool. My brother and I would just go out there and get them and then smoke them later when they weren't home. We were latchkey kids. Come on.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and then, you know, eventually by the time we were teenagers, I worked in a dinner house. Full-blown, you know, really nice restaurant, and everybody smoked, and everybody drank coffee.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what you did,
yep.
You know? So eventually, by the time I was married, I tried to quit, and I did some for a little while, and then I got pregnant with my first one, I quit. Then I smoked a little bit in between, and there was 4 years between first and second child. So by the time the second child was born, I made up my mind because I watched my children having crayons in their hand pretending to smoke.
Oh, geez. I remember doing that. Do you remember the candies?
Oh, yeah.
At the liquor store. Yep. They sold little candy packs of cigarettes that were like some kind of chalky candy or something.
And the bubblegum ones. Don't forget those.
And when you would blow through them, powdered sugar would poof out and it would make smoke.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. I forgot about that.
Yes, so I got to a point where I think, yes, my second child was born, although I quit with her too right away. After I saw my children doing that, I was done. And I really didn't want to smoke. I was really like, I don't want to do this anymore. Yeah. And it took a lot. Because, you know, I realized what smoking did. It calmed me down. And, well, I wasn't dealing with my emotions. I was stuffing them.
Right.
So eventually, and it didn't take too terribly long, I just made up my mind that that cigarette wasn't going to control me. That plant was not going to, I just had to talk myself into positive because I didn't know what else to do.
Right.
And eventually, didn't take too terribly long. I quit. And then, you know, there's all people kind of do this to a point. You know, once in a while I'd buy a pack and then take a couple drags and go, oh, what did I do that for?
Yeah.
You know, but pretty much I haven't smoked for a very long time.
Wow.
So yeah, but you know, I asked the Lord, you know, help me because this is terrible. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. But it was hard. It was really hard. And that was like a victory. Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't spend all that money and it was starting to get more and more expensive. It became, I think it was up to almost five. Well, maybe I wasn't, no, I don't think they cost that much yet, but they're still like $2, I think. A carton was like $20 or something already. And I'm like, okay, no, we're done. I don't have the money for this. And yeah, and I don't want my kids to smoke. And then I kind of found out too, that's right. My oldest daughter, she was allergic to like some grass and weed things. And yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the cigarettes was just like one more thing. Like, yeah, I don't want smoke. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was a bad smoker. You know, I'd actually light them and leave them in the ashtray and they'd burn up. And then I was like super OCD cleaning out the ashtrays all the time.
Well, because it stinks.
It's terrible. Yeah.
It stinks.
Couldn't stand it.
So bad.
And then what do they say that, you know, ex-smokers are the worst because we can smell it a mile. I still can smell it a mile away.
Wow.
If the neighbors are smoking. Still
right.
Smell.
You're like
terrible.
Someone was smoking. John does the same thing. John is my husband. He does the same thing. He'll come in the house and he'll be like, was somebody here? You know, like who he knows that they smoke sometimes. And yeah, I'm like, how did you smell that? That was like yesterday, you know, like
right?
It just gets in the house.
Yeah. But it was a tough one. I mean, I was breaking something my parents had started because that just became so popular. I actually saw an ad. Believe this, Camel cigarettes had an ad what doctors prefer to smoke.
Oh,
Camel
my gosh.
Cigarettes.
Well, it doesn't surprise me.
No,
I mean, in the especially
the
like in the
world.
50s, smoking, you know, cigarette ads. Remember the Marlboro Man?
Oh, yeah, and that guy, yeah, he actually apologized to all the people he sold cigarettes to on the commercials.
Wow.
Yeah, he actually apologized publicly.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Yeah, but that was an overcoming thing because I wasn't gonna let the family, because my mom was like, why don't you smoke anymore? Because I don't want to,
because I asked God and I decided not to, and I battled through it.
Yeah, I just made it. You have to get to a point, you have to choose. There has to be, your will has to be involved.
Right.
Even though you feel weak, that's a huge part of it.
Yeah.
Even though you feel weak, just keep asking.
Yeah.
And I did. I asked, Lord, please, like, I can't take this. I don't want to do this anymore.
Right. And I know there are things in people's lives that, you know, they're battling that and they're feeling like God is not answering their prayers because they keep praying, God, please take this away.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, we've already sort of, you know, what's that saying? You made your bed, you got to lay in it.
Yeah.
You know, we've created
the problem.
With
it. Mm-hmm.
We agreed with it. So it's up to us to battle through it and become victorious over it. You know, God's not, and God does sometimes just take it away.
Yeah,
you know,
he does.
We hear those stories all the time, you know, so yes, that happens. Keep praying. have faith and trust him that whatever, even if you're not succeeding, mm-hmm. it's for something good in the end.
And you
he
know what?
He will change it to something good.
Yes, and I need to bring something up. When my son was born, and again, I wasn't smoking, he was 13 weeks early. He was a full-blown miracle, though, because his lungs were good. I had a lot of distress in the womb. I had an irritable uterus, which actually helped build his lungs.
Wow.
Which was a miracle. So when he was born, he was only 5 days on the ventilator as a premature baby at 27 weeks
and
gestation.
And didn't you say he only weighed like a pound and a half?
1.9 pounds,
oh,
900
goodness.
Grams. But here was the key, too. You're going to get resistance from other people, and I'll finish the story with the smoking. I brought him home finally. He got to come home 3 weeks before his due date, which was amazing. And I had to tell everyone in my family, you can't come in the house and smoke.
Right.
Because he has to have clean lungs. Yes.
Wow.
So I had a lot of resistance from family.
I'm sure.
So yeah. Often you're going to have that. I want to tell a Richard Simmons story really quick.
Oh, yeah.
Richard Simmons gained a lot of weight, started an exercise program, lost the weight, sold his knowledge, and his family didn't know what to do with him. They were uncomfortable with him because he changed.
Yeah.
So that happens when you lose a bad habit or a sin habit.
Right.
And you're going to get resistance. You're going to get people don't know what to do with you. So know that while you're changing, but God will make the way.
Well, and they say that like in... Let's take the 12-step programs. They'll often say you have to change your friends.
Yes.
You have to change what you're doing. Because you can't go hang out and do the same things with the same people. You'll end up in the same
boat.
Addictive situation.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and it's hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard. But, you know, we have to keep our eye on God, our eye on Jesus.
Can't say that enough.
Through that, yeah, through everything. So, wow, that's incredible. Well, really quick, I'm going to go for something a little positive because I could go for some negative overcoming here, but overcoming of traumas. But instead, I'm going to talk about overcoming fear of creativity.
Ooh.
So... when I was a child, I loved to draw. And I always got in trouble because I colored outside the lines and I made trees pink and things that, you know, the teachers were like, no, the tree is green, you know, so I always got in trouble. And so I started to get squashed creatively as a child. And then I kind of put it down. And then in high school, I was taking some art classes and I became like a perfectionist. I was so scared to do it wrong, and I would draw photorealistically, and I think I told you this before, mm-hmm. my instructor literally told me on one of my pieces, sign it, just sign it, you're finished. And I didn't believe I was finished. I could have worked on that thing so much longer, but he was like, you are done, you know? And so I signed it, he took it, and he ended up entering it into a contest, and I won a scholarship to go to Art Center for a class in the summer, which was amazing. I was too young to attend Art Center. I was only 16, but, you know, he knew that it was done, and I didn't. And so after high school, I completely stopped drawing and painting and everything because it was frustrating to me, because it would never be perfect. Then when I was in my early 20s, I ended up going back to college and taking some art classes. And again, I wanted it to be perfect. I wanted to please the instructor, no matter what it was. I wanted to get a 4.0, and I did. And it wasn't until I started to explore, even as an older adult, by the time I was getting my... Master of Fine Arts degree, that was when I started to explore different media, and I started to do bookmaking, and I love bookmaking. It's so much fun. If any of you like books and you like art, look up bookmaking on Pinterest, and you're going to find some really fun stuff. But anyway, my first mistake that I made, I had spilled glue right in the middle of a cover of this big folder that I'd been working on, and I was so upset. I was almost done with it, and I was like, no way. What am I going to do? I can't change it. You know, and I got really upset. I was going to start the whole thing over. And then I stared at it, and I thought, okay, there has to be a solution. Because I'm in tears at this point, mm-hmm. going, I put so many hours into this mm-hmm. thing. I ended up going, okay, maybe if I cover it with something. So I ended up covering it, and the folder ended up better than I had originally imagined because I made that mistake. And I realized that mistakes are just things that you can change, you can learn from, mm-hmm. you can grow with. Mm-hmm. And so that really freed me up artistically. And now I'm doing all sorts of weird media. and it's fun. And I'm just like, whatever, make a mistake, whatever. So that was really freeing, mm-hmm. you know, to be able to go from I'm not an artist, I'm not perfect, I can't do it perfectly, to a place where I'm like, I am an artist, and I'm creative, and I can be creative with whatever is in front of me.
See?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we just accepting who we are.
Sure.
Yeah. That's a big one. Yeah.
I mean, because we're made in God's image, which mm-hmm. means we're made to create.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's what we're supposed mm-hmm. to do, people.
Yeah, I think that's a good example, too, because it's not about being super perfect, like without mistakes. That's not the point. It's about embracing who we are, overcoming what we can, like, and obviously with God's help, but not to be stuck.
And it's just so freeing.
I know, that's amazing. I love that story.
It's freeing.
That's an amazing story.
I encourage everybody to try something. Mm-hmm. Take a mistake and just work on it. Mm-hmm. And you can be the next Thomas Edison. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I really believe that we are in right now, as we're entering the kingdom age, we're also entering an age of a new technological and creative
yes.
renaissance.
Yes.
Because technology with everything, whether it's medicine, the food we eat, whatever, we're getting to a point where our minds are becoming the most important asset that we have.
Yes.
You know, our ability to have a concept, an idea, and to create with it, to mm-hmm. follow it through, is what people are hiring today.
Yes.
They're no longer hiring the person who knows the program.
Yes.
Because everybody knows the application that you're supposed to work. You know what I mean? Like, that's learned. That's okay. That's a skill. But to be able to think critically mm-hmm. and to solve problems mm-hmm. and to come up with new things mm-hmm. that have not been created at this time in history, mm-hmm. that's what is important mm-hmm. in this Renaissance. I think it's really going to also connect us back to God.
I think the mistakes actually afford us to be outside the box.
Sure.
Because we can't know everything. Yeah. I mean, look how many good inventions were done.
Yeah.
Like, I believe the peanut butter and the chocolate.
Oh.
That was a mistake. The sticky notes was a mistake.
Post-it notes, yep.
There's several inventions like that that were mistakes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just think we need to get outside that box. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a box we create for ourselves.
Absolutely.
So, it's just a matter of saying, I'm going to overcome this, and I'm going to step outside.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and that's where the freedom is, the victory.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Wow.
Good right, day, then. Huh?
Yeah, that was awesome. Okay. I loved it.
I know.
Sweet.
Okay, spread the word.
Be you and share you. Bye.
Thank you for listening. Please visit our website at hardwiredforlife.com. Plus, we now have a Patreon account where we offer free PDF booklets that we've written, premium content, and exclusive access to the first module of our Foundations of Love online course, all for becoming a patron for as little as $5 per month. Production and editing done in-house at Hardwired for Life. Music by Alexander Nakaranda at Degenerate Blues.